नमोम विष्णु पराय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद शद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। So thank you all very much for joining today's session. We have been discussing from the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So I'll do a quick recap of what we have seen till now. Actually, in the chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna spoke about Nishkama Karma Yoga and how Nishkama Karma Yoga is to be practiced. And he also spoke about material attractions or lust as being the greatest obstacle for practicing Nishkama Karma Yoga. Having said that, Krishna says that Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam Vivasvan Manave Praha Manurikshvakave Abravit. So he says that actually, Krishna, O Arjuna, I spoke this subject matter to Vivasvan, and Vivasvan spoke it to Manu spoke it to Ikshvaku and so on. Evam parampa pramimam rajarshayo viduhu sakale neham hata yogo nashta parantapa. In this way, this knowledge was passed on through the disciplic succession of great rajarshis. And if rajarshis get it, then all their subjects get. So dissemination of this knowledge becomes very easy if the emperor of that particular kingdom, if the emperor of that kingdom actually accepts this knowledge. And especially this knowledge of Nishkama Karma Yoga, statistically, most people falling in the category of Karma Nishta or qualification for karma, this knowledge is all the more important that this knowledge is disseminated through this disciplic succession of great kings. Because when kings institute this system of varnashrama, then common people having great respect for the kings, they naturally follow. So they have that authority. So especially this knowledge was disseminated through great rajarshis who could institute this system in their kings and hand over this knowledge to the next king and so on. So then Krishna says, okay, but sakale neha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. But over a period of time, just like the Chinese whisper, right? You whisper in someone's ear, they tell something, and by the time it reaches the sixth or seventh person, the message looks almost, totally different. So in the same way, over a period of time, this subject, knowledge in the parampara also gets lost. So Krishna chooses to revive it. And this time Krishna has chosen to revive it to Arjuna. Why? Because Krishna says, Saevayam mayatedya yoga prokta puratanaha Bhaktosi me sakacheti rahasyam hyetaduttamam. My dear Arjuna, you are my devotee. Bhaktosi me sakacheti, and you are my friend. So therefore I have spoken this yoga to you, which is the ultimate secret. Today I have spoken this to you because you are my friend and my devotee. At this point of time, Arjuna, even though he knows the supreme position of Krishna, Arjuna wants to essentially show to this whole world the supreme position of Krishna. And Krishna would feel not so comfortable speaking about his transcendental birth and activities unprompted. So therefore, Arjuna creates this situation by asking this question. He says, Aparam bhavato janma param janma vivasvatah katametad vijaniyam tvam adau proktavaniti. So he says that, my dear Krishna, you and me are of same age, and you know, we have lived for the last 100 odd years, but Vivaswan lived much before us. I have never seen you speaking this to Vivaswan. When did you do it? How is it possible that you could have spoken this to Vivaswan when Vivaswan lived much before us? Krishna answers this question. He says, Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacha Arjuna, tanyaham veda sarvani natvam vitta parantapa. O Arjuna, many, many births you and I have passed. And together, you have been my eternal associate. Many, many births you and I have passed. I know all of them, but you do not know any of them. Actually, no conditions. Krishna knows all these births because Krishna is a Supreme Personality of Godhead and he is omniscient. And Krishna is essentially talking about his dissemination of knowledge through various avatars. And because all the avatars are his amsha, it is not inappropriate for Krishna to say, in many, many births, I have disseminated this knowledge to different people. So in the form of various avatars, he has disseminated. And whenever he comes, Arjuna also comes with him because Arjuna is his eternal associate. So, and as a Nitya Siddha devotee, Arjuna is also capable of remembering all those births. But for the purpose of facilitating the pastimes of Krishna, Yoga Maya covers that memory of Arjuna whenever needed. Whenever needed, Yoga Maya will give that memory also. But at this point of time, Yoga Maya has taken away that memory. So Arjuna is wondering, he does not remember any of the past births. That's why Krishna is telling, Tanyaham Veda Sarvani Natvam Veda Parantapa. I remember all these births, but you don't remember any. So basically, starting from this fifth verse onwards, Krishna is going to speak about his Janma Rahasya and his Karma Rahasya, the very confidential nature of earthen activities. Right? So then Krishna says this very pivotal verse, Ajopisan Abhyayatma Bhutanam Ishwaropisan Prakritim Swamadishtaya Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. He says, he essentially mentions the very unique nature of his birth. He says, Ajopisan, my dear Arjuna, I am unborn. But still, Sambhavami, I appear. I am unborn, but I take birth. And I am the Lord of all living entities. Bhutanam Ira. So no living entity of this world, whether a conditioned soul or a liberated soul, can claim that he is the Lord of all living entities. So he says, Bhutanam Ishwaraha. I am unborn. Arjuna may say, what is the big deal? As a spirit soul, even I am unborn, because the soul has no birth. He says, but I am Bhutanam Ishwaraha. I am the Lord of all living entities. But you cannot claim that. Avyayatma, and you have an imperishable body, but you have a vyayatma. Your body perishes. Idam shram parinama preshalam. So, patatyavashyam shatachandi jarjaram. So, the nature of this body is that of the material body is that it perishes. But Krishna does not have a material body. It is avyayatma. It is an imperishable body. And prakritim swam adishtaya sambhavami. He says, I appear with my own body, which is, the living entity cannot claim that. The living entity has a body which is provided by material nature. And the living entity cannot say sambhavami. Sambhavami indicates independence, a choice to appear. Whereas the living entity cannot choose where to appear, when to appear. living entity cannot choose his parents, place, time, the duration of his life in that particular body. Nothing can be chosen by the living entity. Krishna can choose everything. He can choose his friends. He can choose where to appear, when to appear, how long to stay, what all to accomplish, everything. Right? And that body is made of his own energy, and it is made of his Swarupa Shakti, and it is not made of his Maya Shakti. Whereas the living entity's body is made of Maya Shakti. So in this way, Krishna very clearly describes that his birth and his not taking birth, both are part of his Swarupa. Whereas when the living entity does not take birth, his not taking birth is a part of his Swarupa. Whereas his taking birth is orchestrated by the material energy. Whereas Krishna's taking birth is not orchestrated by the material energy. His taking birth is also under his Swarupa Shakti only, and his not taking birth is also under his Swarupa Shakti only. So these are the various differences between the essential nature of Krishna's birth and ordinary living entity's birth. So this is his Janma Rahasya. Ajopisan Avyayatma Bhutanam Ishwaropisan Prakritim Swamadhishtaya Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. So then the question arises, when does Krishna appear? So Krishna says, Yadra yadra dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanam madharmasya tapanam srajamyam. Yadra yadra dharmasya glanir bhavati. Whenever there is a destruction in dharma or adharmasya abhyuttanam or a rise in adharma, tada aham atmanam srajami. At that time, I manifest my own body. So in this context, we discuss, even though the word srijami or srishti may indicate creation, and creation indicates material, and material means it will deteriorate also. Matter deteriorates, spirit does not deteriorate. But because Krishna has already mentioned the nature of his body to be avyayatma, imperishable body, which means the body is pure. So therefore, srijami cannot mean create, but srijami means to manifest. Krishna dyumani nimloche girnesh adagarenaha kimnu nakkushalam broyam gata shrishu griheshvaham. Uddhava tells Vidura Bhagavatam that that actually Krishna dyumani nimloche, the son of Krishna has set, indicating Krishna's birth and disappearance. Appearance and disappearance are like the rising and setting of the sun. When the sun sets, the sun has just disappeared from our vision. The sun has not died. So when the sun takes, when the sun appears in the morning, it has not taken birth. It has just manifest in front of our eyes. Right? The sun is there always. Just its appearance and disappearance for our vision, in front of our vision, that is intermittent. The sun's appear, that doesn't mean the sun takes birth and dies. So similarly, Krishna's appearance and disappearance is also not considered to be birth and death. So therefore, the word srijami, even though under the common meaning of srijami would mean to create, but in this context, the meaning should be as manifest. I manifest my own body. Tada aham atmanam srijami. So, okay. Having appeared, what does Krishna accomplish? What are the duties of Krishna? Or what does he do? Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanartha sambhavami yuke yuke. So he says, in every age I appear for three purposes. Paritranaya sadhunam, विनाशाय च दुष्कृताम धर्म संस्थापनार्थाय. टू प्रोटेक्ट माय डिवोटीज, टू डिस्ट्रॉय द डीमंस एंड टू एस्टैब्लिश धर्म. नाउ द क्वेश्चन इज, शुड कृष्णा पर्सनली अपियर टू परफॉर्म दीज थिंग्स? कांट कृष्णा अकम्प्लिश दीज थ्रू हिज सेंटली किंग राजर्षीज एंड अदर ग्रेट डिवोटीज? कांट ही अकम्प्लिश दीज थिंग्स थ्रू हिज डिवोटीज एंड राजर्षीज? कृष्णा सेज नो, बिकॉज द मीनिंग ऑफ त्राणाय साधूनाम मीन्स टू डिलीवर माई डिवोटीज हू आर सफरिंग due to feeling separation from me. So because they are suffering due to feeling separation from me, I have to come and show my own form and give them pleasure. That cannot be accomplished if I don't appear. Vinashaya cha dushkritam. Yes, the ordinary living entities can be destroyed by the kings and by the kings, and even by material nature itself. But I come to destroy the special kind of demons who cannot be killed by ordinary living entities. Ordinary human beings cannot kill because they have actually a boon, like Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, like that. So for them I have to personally appear. And dharma samsthapanarthaya, and the dharma that I come to establish, the common dharma of varnashrama dharma, I can establish it through teaching to swan and others. But I specially appear to establish the dharma of worshipping me, serving me, singing about me. That is the dharma of bhakti, so for which I have to personally come. And for this purpose, I come yuge yuge. In every yuga, or yuge yuge can also mean kalpe kalpe, during every day of Brahma, like that. So then Krishna speaks about, then he says, janma karma cha me devyam evo veti tatvatah yatva devam punarjanmanaiti mameti so Arjuna. He who understands in truth the spiritual nature of my birth and activities, as I have discussed in number 5, 6, 7, 8, I have described my janma rahasya and karma rahasya. After hearing this, whoever understands in truth the spiritual nature of my birth and activities, that person, after giving up this body, he shall never birth again and he will attain me. Someone may say, wow, this seems very easy. All I need to do is to accept Krishna's birth and activities to be non-material and spiritual, and I will get attain him. I will not take birth again. So, which means essentially, I don't have to chant. I don't have to accept a guru. Nothing. All I need to do is to just accept Krishna's birth and activities to be spiritual. So will I escape birth and death? Krishna says, yes, yes, why not? Now let us check if you have the symptoms of a person who has accepted, who has understood in truth the spiritual nature of Krishna's birth and activities. What are the symptoms of such a person? Krishna says in the next verse, such a attachment, he has no attachment, any kind of bogus non-devotional understanding or ideology or philosophy. Vita bhaya, and if someone speaks that, he does not fear, because he is very firmly grounded in his proper understanding of that philosophy, of understanding of the proper right philosophy. Because he is properly grounded, he does not become fearful when a powerful opponent comes and speaks some apasiddhanta. And Vita Krodha, ही डस नॉट बिकम एंग्री. वाई? बिकॉज मनमया, बिकॉज ही इज अब्सॉर्ब्ड इन हियर एंड चैंटिंग माय होली नेम्स एंड ग्लोरीज. देयरफॉर व्हेन समवन इज स्पीकिंग बोगस फिलोसफी, ही डस नॉट लेंड हिज ईयर्स एंड माइंड, बिकॉज हिज ईयर्स एंड माइंड एंड टंग आर बिजी हियरिंग एंड चैंटिंग कृष्ण कथा एंड कृष्ण कीर्तन. माम उपाश्रित, एंड सच अ पर्सन विल टेक शेल्टर ऑफ ओनली कृष्णा. ही विल नॉट टेक शेल्टर ऑफ एनी डेमीगॉड्स एंड ही विल टेक शेल्टर ऑफ कृष्णा थ्रू द प्रोसेस ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस ओनली. सो Krishna, if you have these symptoms, then you fall within the category of janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvatah. So if you are vitaraga, vitabhaya, vitakrodha, manmaya, mam upashrita and madbhavam agata, and if you have attained love for me, then this is the proof that you have understood the transcendental nature of my birth and activities in truth. But if you don't have these qualities, then you have not understood the transcendental nature of my birth and activities in truth. Tattvataha means this, Krishna says. Then the question arises, okay, not everyone may accept your birth and activities to be transcendental, your form to be transcendental. So how do you reciprocate with them? But they may worship you. They may worship you, but they may not necessarily accept you as your birth and activities to be transcendental. So how do you reciprocate with them? He says, Ye yatamam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. Mama vartmanu vartante manushya partha sarvatraha. So he says that I respond to persons according to their amount of surrender. If someone surrenders to me, worships me, attain my form to be spiritual, my activities to be spiritual, and worships me to attain prema, I give them Krishna prema. If someone worships me, accepting my form and activities to be spiritual, and asks for liberation, I give them liberation. If someone worships me, accepting my form and activities to be spiritual and ask me for swarga, I to them. If someone accepts, worships me, rejecting but not accepting my form and activities to be spiritual, but if they accept it to be material and illusory, then I do not give them anything in return. So then I make them not escape this samsara. Okay. So, he says that that's what he's telling, right? So then, he says, Kaṅkṣataḥ karmaṇām siddhim yajanta iha devatāḥ kṣipraṁ hi manushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. Then the question arises, if you are willing to give your own abode to people, then why do people aspire for material results? Why do people aspire for material results? Krishna says, Kaṅkṣataḥ karmaṇām siddhim yajanta iha devatāḥ kṣipraṁ hi manushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. So he says, manushe loke karmanam siddhim kaṅkṣataḥ. People who desire material results, they want results fast because material results come very fast. Because material results are very insignificant. Alpa, alpa medasam. What is that? Anyways, so he says these are like very insignificant results, come very fast. Insignificant results come very fast, and people don't have, and transcendental results take lot of time because they are very valuable. But people of this world mostly they do not have the patience to endeavor for some transcendental result. They want quick, meager material results. For that, they take the path of karma and accept temporary material results. And generally, such people are inclined to worship the demigods for it. We discussed this last time. One of the common misunderstandings of this verse is that whoever wants the material results very fast, they worship the devatas, because whoever wants the material results, because the devatas give the material results very fast. But if someone worships Krishna for material results, he gives very, very slowly. This is not correct. This is not the understanding of this verse. The understanding of this verse is, people who do not have patience to aspire for transcendental results, they aspire for people who want quick results, quick material results, they accept the path of karma. And generally, people have an inclination to worship the devatas for that. But it's not that devata gives the results very fast. Actually, Krishna gives the same faster. That is why Krishna says, akama sarvakamo mokshakama udaradihi tivrena bhakti yogena ejeta purusham param. Whether you are an akami, sarvakami or mokshakami, even sarvakami, if he accepts Krishna to fulfill those desires, he is udaradihi, he is intelligent. He is intelligent. Okay. So, then he continues. So, someone may say that for Krishna, you are very partial. Whoever accepts the path of karma, you allow them to suffer in samsara by accepting material results. Whoever accepts the path of jnana and karma, jnana and bhakti, you give them transcendental results. Isn't this unfair? So Krishna says, Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam gunakarma vibhagashah tasya kartaram apimam vidhi akartaram avyayam. I have created these four varnas. Anyone can enter it, and if one properly practices this varnashrama system, one can move from Sakama Karma Yoga to Nishkama Karma Yoga, Nishkama Karma Yoga to Jnana Yoga, and then achieve results. So they have a choice. So I have created a system to actually fulfill their material desires and transcend the material realm also through the Varnashrama system. So I am not stopping anyone to stay in this material world. I have created a system in which people can fulfill desires according to their nature and then transcend the material world also. And I'm not, even though I'm the creator of this Varnashrama system, you should understand that I am impartial and detached from this system. I am impartial and detached from this system. So you should not think that I am partial towards people. Okay, then Krishna says, Namam karmani limpanti name karma phale spriha iti mamyo abhijanati karma bir nasabate. So, someone may say that Krishna, you say that you are not affected by the Varnashram system, you are not attached to the Varnashram system, but you also appeared as a Kshatriya only. If you consider Krishna to be the son of Vasudeva, then you appeared as a Kshatriya, you performed the Kshatriya duties. So, certainly you are subsisting as a Kshatriya. Krishna says, Namam karmani limpanti. Actions do not contaminate me. Name karma phale spriha. I do not have any desires to enjoy the fruits of my karma. Iti mamyo abhijanati karma bir nasabadyate. One who knows this about me is not bound by actions. This has two meanings we saw. The first meaning is, one who understands that Krishna is not contaminated by work because he is not attached to enjoying the fruits of that work, that person will also be not attached to the fruits of his work, and therefore he will also not be contaminated by the fruits of his work, and thus he will not be bound by the actions. This is one understanding of this verse. Another understanding of this verse is, one who understands that even though Krishna may be, it may seem like Krishna is performing Kshatriya duties and Grihastha duties, it may seem like he is also like an ordinary bound person, but one who understands that this is only external, but Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is not bound by any of the actions, and he does not desire any fruits of that karma. He is just doing it to set the right example for others, being the Supersonality of Godhead. One who understands this transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and activities, karma birna sabadhyate, he will not be bound by actions. Like that, two different meanings. Krishna says, namam karmani limpanti, name karma phalespriha, iti mamyo abhijanati, karma birna sabadhyate. So then he says, evam gyatva kritam karma, purvairapi mumukshubihi, kuru karmaiva tasmatvam purvair purvataram krishna purvataram kritam. O Arjuna, all your ancestors performed karma, performed their duties with this understanding. Evam gyatva kritam karma. Evam gyatva kritam karma purvairapi mumukshubihi. All your ancestors who had desire for liberation performed these actions with this understanding, that we should not be attached to the lower fruits of karma. Karmanyevadikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana, ma karma phala heturbur mate sangostva karmani, evam gyatva kritam karma purvairapi mumukshubihi. With this understanding, your ancestors performed their prescribed duties in order to attain liberation. And they did attain liberation, O Arjuna. Therefore, you should also perform your varnashram duties without being attached to the lower material fruits that the varnashram system can offer. Be attached to liberation and perform these activities. In this way, you will also attain liberation. So then Krishna says, therefore I am telling you all this in detail, of Arjuna, because kim karma kim akarmeti kavayopyatra mohitaha tatte karma pravakshami yadgyatva mokshase ashubhat. Arjuna, what is karma, what is akarma, what is vikarma? It is very difficult to understand. Okay, because what is karma for someone may be vikarma for someone else. Okay, so karma means prescribed duty, vikarma means prohibited action, and akarma means, here according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, akarma means the position of a sannyasi and at what stage you can give up your dharma. Okay, that is akarma. So this understanding is not very clear for most people. Even the so-called most intelligent people are bewildered in understanding what is prescribed duty, what is prohibited action, and at what stage one can give up one's varna dharma, what is the qualification, whether I am qualified or not. Even the most intelligent people are bewildered by this. Kim karma kim akarmeti kavayopyatra mohitaha tatte karma pravakshami yadgyatva mokshase ashubhat. So is that, therefore I will speak about these three, karma, akarma and vikarma, so that you will be liberated from samsara. He says, karmanohi api bodhavyam bodhavyam cha vikarmanah akarmanascha bodhavyam gahana karmano gatihi. He says that one should understand what is karma, what is vikarma, what is akarma, because the truth about this is very difficult to understand. You should understand all these deep things properly. This is where we ended our discussion last week. If you have any quick discussion points, comments, questions based on what we have discussed till discussed last week and summarized today, you can please go ahead. Anything anyone would like to share and add? Okay, there is something in the chat box. Okay, there are some questions which are not directly related to the subject matter that we are discussing here. Yeah, so I will choose not to take these questions right now because it's not directly connected to the subject matter that we are discussing. So is Arjuna an eternal associate of Krishna in Vrindavan also, like Shubal, Sridhama, etc.? How many qualities Nityasiddhas like Arjuna, Haridas, Thakur possess? I mean, yeah, these are relevant questions, but not relevant to the subject matter we are discussing. So I will not take it right now. Vrate Mataji?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavatana.
Dandavatana.
Prabhuji, just can you repeat this? Akarma, Vikarma, and Karma by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. You said Akarma is inaction by renouncements.
Yeah. Yeah. Karma is prescribed duties according to one's varna and ashrama. Vikarma is prohibited action.
Yes.
So, because like dharma and adharma. So vikarma means adharma. So, yes, there are certain things, and adharma also is very, very specific according to varna, according to ashrama. So, what is dharma for one can be adharma for others. And there is apatkalin dharma. In apatkalin paristhiti, what is dharma for one, what is adharma for other, these are like very sort of confusing things. So this is karma, vikarma, and akarma means at what stage you can give up your prescribed duties. What is the situation or the qualification of a person who can give up his varna dharma, which means what are the qualifications of a sannyasi or a jnana yogi? So he says that these are very difficult to understand. Not many people know this. Like Arjuna also thought that, I will also become a sannyasi. I will stop all this, so I will not get any sinful reactions. He says, no. You are not qualified to be a sannyasi. What is the qualification for sannyasi? So Arjuna said, oh, I can control my senses, no problem. Krishna says, no, that is not a qualification for being a sannyasi. To be able to control your senses is not the qualification to be a sannyasi. Sannyasi means who does not get any sense gratificatory desire only. He is qualified for sannyas. So he is qualified for akarma. So the subject matter of karma, akarma, vikarma is very complicated and very, very subjective. So therefore, not everyone knows clearly this subject matter. So therefore, he says that I will speak this to you so that you can understand this and follow it properly like that.
So what is inaction by an unqualified person? What that is called as? Like akarma is inaction? Yes,
akarma, akarma by an unqualified person is actually vikarma.
Okay.
So it is akarma in his imagination only. So if you take akarma to mean not performing one's varna dharma without having the qualification to give up varna dharma, that is actually vikarma actually. It is actually prohibited action because it will generate the result of prohibited action, which is papa.
Because
the result of prohibited action is papa. So that's what the person, an unqualified person, when he gives up his varna dharma and takes up to sannyas without qualification, he will get the result of a grihastha performing prohibited action. So he will get papa only. So it is vikarma in one sense.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else anyone would like to share? Yes. Okay. If there is none, then we will. Okay, there is. I think this is Shyamlal Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
So, Prabhu, again, this akarma, vikarma, and karma is applicable within the purview of Varnashram only, no?
The way it is discussed right now in this fourth chapter, it is within the purview of Varnashram only. But the principle applies for devotees also, but not exactly in the way in which Krishna is describing in this chapter.
So how is that applicable to devotees then?
So the devotees, yeah. So the devotees should know their dharma. What is their dharma? So they should know what is prescribed for them, what is prohibited for them, and whether at any stage they can. There is no akarma for devotees, because bhakti is practiced even at the stage of practice and perfection. So at the stage of practice, it is sadhana, and at the stage of perfection, it is called as anubhava. Anubhava means that those activities which are performed naturally out of love for Krishna. So Mother Yashoda is also singing Krishna's names. She is also doing some physical services for Krishna. But that is not sadhana for her. That is a natural expression of her love for Krishna. So there is no akarma for devotees. There is no stage she will stop performing his duties. But certainly there is karma and vikarma, in the sense that what is prescribed and what is prohibited. So amongst the 64 limbs, some of the limbs are prescriptions for devotees, some of the limbs are prohibitions for devotees. So karma and vikarma is covered there, prescriptions and prohibitions. So therefore a devotee should practice his dharma, a karma yogi should practice his dharma, and a jnana yogi should practice his dharma. So the dharma for the bhakti yogi is given in the bhakti shastras. For us specifically, it is given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu.
Right. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mataji. I unmuted you. I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
So the understanding we had was, at least probably what I had was that karma is action that has a reaction. Vikarma is action that has bad reactions. And akarma is, as devotees, whatever devotional service we do, which does not earn any reactions.
Yeah, correct. True. That is also correct understanding. Because different acharyas give slightly different explanations for this. Actually, the explanation that you give is Baldev Vidyabhushan's explanation and Srila Prabhupada's explanation also. So, according to Srila Prabhupada and Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan, they explained karma as prescribed action, vikarma as prohibited action, and you can say neglecting one's action, and akarma as that which does not generate any reaction. So, which is, in this context, it refers to Nishkama Karma Yoga. So, if you perform Nishkama Karma, it is akarma because it does not generate any reaction. That is the way Srila Prabhupada and Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan explain. But there is a slight difference. But Srila Vishnachakra Thakur says, that is also true. But akarma also means, instead of taking karma to mean reaction, if you take karma to mean action, so then akarma would mean no action, which means not performing one's varna dharma. So under what circumstance one can stop performing one's varna dharma? It becomes like that. Both are right. I mean, that is also an understanding. So karma can mean action, karma can mean reaction. So if you take karma to mean action, then akarma would mean no action, which is what sannyasis do. They do not perform their varna dharma. If you take karma to mean reaction, then akarma would mean that which does not generate any reaction. So for devotees, it is bhakti. For the nishkama karma yogis, it is nishkama karma yoga. So without any material desire, with liberation as the goal, when one performs one's varnashrama duties, then that is called as karma, because it does not generate any reaction. And similarly, if devotees perform their devotional activities for the pleasure of Krishna, then that action will also not generate any reaction. So the word karma can mean action, or the karma can mean reaction. So in that sense, there are two different understandings. Is that relevant, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Right. Okay. Anything else before we move on to the next verse? Okay. Let's continue then. So, next, Sheila, next Krishna continues. Karmani akarmayah pashyet akarmani cha karmayah sabuddhiman manushyeshu sayuktah krishna karmakrit. He says, karmani akarmayah pashyet. Pashyet means to see. Karmani means action. Akarma means inaction. He who sees inaction in action, akarmani cha karmayah, and sees action in inaction, saha, that person, manushyeshu buddhiman, is intelligent amongst men, saha yuktaha krishna karma krit, he performs all actions, but he does not get bound. That is implied. Okay. So, karmani akarmayah pashyed akarmani cha karmayah. So, he who sees inaction in action. So, inaction in action means what? Here, inaction means no reaction. Okay. Action means performing varnashram duties. He who sees inaction in action, which means he who sees when someone performs his varnashram duties in a nishkama way, or with detachment, even if he is performing all actions, he is generating no reactions. So he understands that. And akarmani cha karmayah, and he who can see action in inaction. So here action means reaction. In inaction means no varnashram duty. So which means a person can also see when an unqualified person gives up his varnashram duty without the purification of heart, even though he may not be performing any varnashram duty, but he will get all kinds of reaction, and to suffer or enjoy it, he will have to take birth again and again. So an intelligent person, saha manushyeshu buddhiman, the intelligent amongst men, is trained to see how actions need not generate reaction, but unqualified people giving up action, even though they are not performing action, it will generate reaction. Right? So, an unqualified sannyasi, even though he is not performing his varnashram duties, he will keep getting lot of papa punya. And a person who is performing his varnashram duties with complete detachment, with liberation as his goal, even though he is performing lot of activities, it will not generate any punya. It will be reaction free. So that is seeing inaction in action and action in inaction. Such a person is manushyeshu buddhiman. He is intelligent amongst men. Sayuktaha krishna karma krit. He performs all actions. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentions here that this verse gives an understanding of the truth of action and non-action. So what does it mean? He is intelligent who sees that persons of pure heart, fixed in knowledge, okay, pure heart, fixed in knowledge, like Janaka, who do not renounce activity but rather engage in action in Nishkama Karma Yoga, do not accrue karma. So this is the first part. Karmani akarma yaha pashyet. He who sees inaction in action. Even though they are engaged in activities of Varnashrama, none of that activity is generating any reaction because they are performing Nishkama Karma Yoga without any material desires. Okay, they do not accrue any karma. That is karmani akarma yaha pashyet. And who is that one who does not perform actions, renouncing actions as a sannyasi, being of impure heart, without knowledge, even though talking profusely of knowledge because knowledge of scriptures, actually obtains bondage of karma leading to misery. So he says action plus knowledge plus pure heart leads to no reaction. Okay. But inaction or sannyas without knowledge impure heart leads to sinful reactions. So he understands. So he can see a grihastha moving towards liberation and a sannyasi moving towards hell. So which means the person is addressed as buddhiman or knowledgeable because he has attained the knowledge to see beyond the externals. He can see beyond the externals. He can see that, oh, this grihastha, even though engaged very diligently in all his varnashrama activities, is going towards liberation. And this sannyasi, even though he is not engaged in any worldly matters, is actually going to hell. Why? Because he has renounced his activities without qualification. So that is, this is therefore a continuation of this. Karmahi api bodhavyam bodhavyam cha vikarmanah akarmanascha bodhavyam gahana karmano gatihi. So one should understand about karma, akarma and vikarma. And he very beautifully, Krishna, in one verse, he says that that intelligent person will learn to see beyond the externals. He will not just see, oh, sannyasi hai, liberation. Grihastha hai, to samar. Not like that. Qualified sannyasi, liberation. Qualified grihastha, liberation. At least in the path to liberation. So he can see beyond the externals. When he sees an unqualified sannyasi whose heart is not yet completely purified, but has prematurely given up his varnashram duties, no hope for such a person. But if a person has impure heart, but if he is engaged in his varnashram duties as a grihastha, he has all the hope because his heart will eventually become purified. And he can be on the path to liberation. So this is actually karmani akarma yaha pashyed akarmani cha karma yaha sa buddhiman manushyeshu sayuktaha krishna karma krit. So he says, he engages in all activities. He does not renounce action, even though instructions or association of those who think themselves knowledgeable, talking a lot about jnana. They may talk about the path of jnana to be superior to the path of karma. That is true. We are not debating it. We are not actually denying it. But where is your qualification? Jnana is superior, but your qualification is not superior to practice jnana. So where is the question? Right? So the Bhagavatam says, yastu asamyata shadvargaha prachandendriya saratihi jnana vairagya rahita tridandam upajivati suran atmanam atmastam niknute mamcha dharmaha avipakva kashayosmad asmad ushmacha vihiyate yastu asamyata shadvarga. Shadvarga are the six forms of illusion: lust, anger, greed, excitement, false pride, and intoxication. Yastu asamyata, one who has not controlled the six enemies, and indriya sarati, and whose intelligence, which is the leader of all the senses including the mind, prachanda, whose intelligence is extremely attached to material things, jnana vairagya rahitaha, and who is bereft of knowledge and detachment, tridam upajivati, and he accepts a tridanda or a sannyas order of life just to make a living, so that everyone without asking any question will give him something to eat and they will give him respect, right? So one who has not controlled the six enemies, whose intelligence is attached to material things, he is bereft of knowledge and attachment, he accepts sannyas only to make a living. Niknute, he deceives. Who deceives? The devatas, the atma, the paramatma, thus ruining all religious principles, and who is still infected material contamination, is deviated and lost both in this life and in the next life. So this is actually as a sannyasi without knowledge and with an impure heart. So sinful reactions. That's what Gautam says. That's why this verse is quoted. He is still infected by material contamination, is deviated and lost both in this life and in the next life. In this life, he is deviated. In the next life, he will not get a favorable destination at all. That is what Krishna is mentioning here. Karmani akarma yaha pashyet akarmani cha karma yaha sa buddhiman manushyeshu sa yuktaha krishna karma kritu. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask that. Okay, if there is none, then we will continue our discussion further. Then, in the next verse, Krishna says that he is very clearly describing this concept of karmani akarma yaha pashyet akarmani cha karma yaha. So how to see action in inaction and inaction in action? So Krishna says, yasya sarve samarambaha kama sankalpa varjitaha jnanagni dagda karmanam tam ahuhu panditam budaha. Budaha ahuhu. The wise people say that tam panditam, that person is learned. Who is learned? He says, yasya sarve samarambaha, who even though engaging in all types of activities, kama sankalpa varjitaha, but being devoid of desire for enjoyment. Jnanagni dagda karmanam, and he has burnt up all actions by the fire of knowledge. So this is the explanation of seeing inaction in action. Right? But what is the explanation of seeing inaction in action? So he is yasya sarve samarambha. He is engaged in all kinds of activities. So samarambha refers to varnashram duties. He is engaged in all kinds of varnashram duties, but his action is kama sankalpa varjitaha, indicates he is nishkama. Right? Kama sankalpa varjita means it is devoid of all desire for enjoyment. There is no desire for enjoyment, but there is diligent engagement in his varnashram duties, which indicates that he is practicing kama karma yoga. Okay, so therefore, jnanagni dagda karmanam. So this indicates no reaction. Jnana agni, by the fire of knowledge, dagda, it burns karmanam. Karmanam here means reaction. All that reaction is burnt by the fire of knowledge. Tam ahuhu panditam buddhaha. The wise people call such a person as a learned person. Learned person means who performs action but does not generate any reaction. Right? So yasya sarve samarambaha kama sankalpa varjitaha. Jnanagni dagda karmanam tamahu panditam buddhaha. So he says, this concept is further explained in 5 verses. So from 19th verse till 23rd verse, this concept of seeing action in inaction and inaction in action will be described in little more detail. Okay. So therefore he says, one who completely engages in activity means varnashram duties, devoid of desires to attain objects of enjoyment, this is nishkama, performs actions consumed by the fire of knowledge. Okay, whether the actions are prescribed or forbidden. So he says, in this way, the nature of vikarma should be understood. Just as the qualified person sees that karma does not lead to bondage, he also sees that vikarma or forbidden action do not accrue bondage. Because vikarma seeing inaction in action. Okay. Yeah. So he says that so sometimes he may be seen to be performing some forbidden activity, but it is forbidden only to the person who is not having proper knowledge. For example, he may see a Kshatriya killing on the battlefield and he may say that, he is doing the forbidden activity of killing human beings. Okay. But he will not get any reaction for that because it is not forbidden for the Kshatriya. Right. And someone may say that, see, he is begging. Begging is a forbidden activity. Begging is a forbidden activity for a Kshatriya, but it is not a forbidden activity for a Brahmana. So therefore, sometimes you may see, so if the person is properly fixed in knowledge, so neither does performance of karma lead to bondage, nor does performance of vikarma or forbidden action, it does not lead to bondage for him. Right? So, this verse is in agreement with the previous verse, seeing inaction in action. Later it will be said, अपि चेदसि पापेभ्यः सर्वेभ्यः पकृत्तमः सर्वं ज्ञानप्लवेनैव वृजिनं सन्तरिष्यसि. सो वेर् कृष्ण वुड् से लेटर् अपि चेत् ईवन् इफ् यु आर् सर्वेभ्यः पापेभ्यः पापकृत्तमः असि ईवन् दो यु आर् द मोस्ट् सिन्फुल् अमङ्ग्स्ट् आल् सिनर्स् सर्वं सन्तरिष्यसि यु विल् क्रास् ओवर् आल् द सिन्स् ज्ञानप्लवेनैव just by the boat of knowledge. Okay, so if you have the right knowledge, then by that boat of knowledge you can cross over all kinds of sins. Etai dhamsi samiddognir basmasat purute arjuna gyanagni sarvakarmani basmasat purute tata. Just as a blazing fire burns to ashes all fuel wood, the fire of knowledge turns all actions to ashes. So if you have the right knowledge, any action you perform will not generate any reaction. All the reactions will be burnt to ashes. So in this verse, Krishna is explaining to Arjuna what is seeing inaction in action. So a person who is fixed in proper knowledge, who has no desire to enjoy the fruits of his activities, kama sankalpa varjitaha, even though he may be engaged in all kinds of varnashram duties, all his reactions have been burnt by the fire of knowledge, jnanagni dagda karmanam. So therefore there is no reaction. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Yes, Shyamalal Prabhu.
So Prabhu, yes. Many times, not only just devotees, also they have knowledge that what duties to be performed or what actions to be done. But because senses are out of control, you're forced to do certain activities, like is mentioned in the previous section, right? So,
correct.
Now, here you are mentioning that by the fire of knowledge, you can burn all the reactions. So, when you say fire of knowledge, that knowledge is there, but how is that knowledge going to burn? In the sense, somebody may have the knowledge, but if he cannot apply the knowledge, how is it going to help?
So here what it means is, even though if by having a very sinful past, if he accumulated lot of sinful reactions, if having accumulated knowledge and practicing it, he will burn all kinds of sins. That is what it means. So even though you are a very sinful person, means you possess lot of sinful reactions. That's what it means. So he may not be currently performing all those sinful activities, but due to his sinful past, he has accumulated many, many sinful reactions, which can be burned by the fire of knowledge. That's what it means. But if a qualified Nishkama Karma Yogi is currently also performing forbidden activities, actions forbidden according to his Varna and Ashrama due to uncontrolled senses, for that he will accumulate reaction. But slowly he steadies up and he is able to resist acting according to his impulse and temptations and properly practices Nishkama Karma Yoga, then all his past sinful reactions also gets destroyed by that. That is the understanding. Is that relevant to?
Okay. So basically he has to, ultimately it all comes to control of mind and senses.
Yeah, he has to. And the means of attaining that is if he diligently follows his Varnashrama piece, the duties themselves for particular Varna and Ashrama are designed in such a way that it leads to gradual purification. So, and eventually he should, once sufficient purification is accomplished, he should aim for liberation, and he should give up, at least theoretically start giving up the desire to attain material benefits from practicing his Varnashram duties. So, even though for a Nishkama Karma Yogi, the anarthas are still there. Sometimes lust will trouble him, anger and all these things will trouble him, just like a sadhaka. For a sadhaka, these things will trouble. But if he sort of tolerates and continues his practice of Nishkama Yoga, then gradually the heart will get purified of this Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsarya, like that. And eventually he will reach a situation where he will be ready to meditate on the Brahman and attain liberation, like that.
Okay, bro. Thank you.
Harish. Okay. Anything else anyone would like to share? Ask. Okay. If there is none, then we will continue our discussion. Okay. Next verse.
Tyaktva karma phala sangam. Nitya tripto nirashrayaha karmani abhipravrittopi naiva kinchit karoti saha.
So he says, karmani abhipravritto api. Even though intently engaged in actions, here actions means varnashram duties, abhipravritto, pravritta means to do, abhipravritta means very intently performing his varnashram duties. Tyaktva karma phala asangam. If he has given up the desire for the results, here results means material results. He certainly has desire for liberation. That is why previously said, evam gyatva kritam karma purvair api mumukshu bihi kuru karmaiva tasmatvam purvair purvataram kritam. So he says that purvair api mumukshu bihi. So they are mumukshus. They have desire for liberation, mukti. But they may not have material desires. So therefore here he says, karmani abhi pravrittopi, even though they may be intently engaged in varnashram duties, actions, but tyaktva karma phala asangam, having given up the desire for the results of action, nitya tripto, being always satisfied, nirashraya, being non-dependent on others, naiva kinchit karoti saha, this person does nothing at all. Does nothing at all means no reactions are generated. So this is the meaning of seeing inaction in action, like that. So even though intently engaged in action, having given up the desire for the results of action, being always satisfied and not dependent on others, this person does nothing at all, which means no reactions are generated. So Srila Vishnachakra Thakur writes, this person is always satisfied by his own bliss, nitya triptaha. He does not take shelter at all of anything for his livelihood. Nirashrayaha. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share? Okay, if there is none, we will continue. Krishna continues.
Nirashir yata chittatma tyakta sarva parigraha shariram kevalam karma purvannapnoti kilbisham. Tyakta sarva parigraha, having given up all sense of taking from others,
because he has no material desire, so he does not take anything from others. Nirashihi, being without desire, yata chittatma, and controlled in his mind and body, kurvan karma, performing acts, shariram kevalam, only to support his body, na apnoti kilbisham, he does not incur sin. So such a person, having given up all sense of taking anything from others without any material desires and completely controlled in his mind and body, when he performs acts only to support his body, he does not incur any sin. Okay. So, he says, he is controlled in his mind and gross body. Nirashir yata chittatma. Chit is mind, atma is body. For the purpose of maintaining his body, he may accept things even from sinful persons, but he does incur sin. So this is an extended explanation of the statement. One must understand the truth concerning vikarma. So some people, when they accept things from sinful persons, they will incur sin. Okay. For devotees will not incur sin, but their consciousness can get affected. Their consciousness can get affected. For this, there is no sin. For a Nishkama Karma Yogi, who is completely sense-controlled and who has no desire to accept any, he accepts things from others purely for maintaining his body. At that level, if a Nishkama Karma Yogi accepts a charity even from a sinful person, he will not get any vikarma for that. But if an ordinary beginner Nishkama Karma Yogi, who is not free from the desire to enjoy, when he accepts any charity from a sinful person, he may get vikarma. He will get bad karma. Similarly, for devotees also, if they are not very fit heart, And still the enjoyment tendency is not gone, they accept charity, personal purposes from people who are not pure, their consciousness will affect them. But affected devotee, when he is completely sense controlled, has no material desires, even in the form of anarthas, when they accept any kind of charity from a very sinful people, their consciousness will not affect them. So that is what he is telling here. Nirashir yata chittatma tyakta sarva parigraha. So he says, yata chittatma, he has completely controlled his mind and senses. Nirashi, he has no material desires. But, and kurvan karma shariram kevalam, he performs acts only to support his body, does not occur sin. So that activity to support his body may even be begging. And while begging, he may get charity from a sinful person. But if this person is accepting this purely to maintain his body only and has no other material desire, then that charity, even if given from a sinful person, will not generate any vikarma for him. But if there is an enjoyment tendency, then it will generate vikarma. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anyone would like to share as had? Okay, if there is none, we will continue our discussion. Yadrichalabhastushto dvandvatito vimatsarah samasiddhavasiddhau cha kritvapi na nibadyate. Yadrichalabhastushto, satisfied with whatever comes of its own accord, dvandva atito, free dualities, vimatsarah,
free of envy. Samaha, siddhav, asiddhav cha, calm in the face of success and failure. Kritvapi, even though engaged in work, na nibadhyate, that person is not bound. Right? So, here, further, his qualities are given. Yadricha labha santushto. So, if that person is completely satisfied with whatever comes of its own accord, free from dualities, happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, if he is not affected by that, vimatsarha, he is free of envy. Samaha siddhava siddhavcha, and if he is equipoised in the face of success and failure, kritvapi, even though he may be engaged in his varnashram duties, na nibadhyate, he is not bound. Okay, this is a continuation of the previous verses. And finally, he says, Gata sangasya muktasya jnanavastita chetasaha yajnayacharata karma samagram praviliyate. Muktasya, devoid of desire for results. Gata sangasya, free from attachment. Jnanavastita chetasaha, with his mind completely absorbed in knowledge. Yajnaya acharata karma, and engaged in actions only for yajna. If you remember in the third chapter we saw, what is that verse? 3.9. Yajna. Oh my God. What is that verse? 3.9. Can someone just remind me, please? I am totally blank. What is it? Yajnartat karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandana. Tadartam karma kaunteya. Yag mukta sangachara, as Krishna says. So, yajnartat karmano anyatra lokoyam bandana. So, if your actions are not meant for yajna, then it will lead to karma bandana. So, this person, gata sangasya, he has no material attachment. Is very clearly absorbed in knowledge and engaged in actions of yajna. Yajnaya acharata karma samagram praviliyate. He does not accrue karmic reactions. So this is essentially a very clear description of seeing inaction in action. Karmani akarma yaha pashyet, that is being described here. So, one who performs actions for the purpose of yajna, which will now be described, karma dissolves. Karma means reactions dissolves. The state of non-action or no reactions to work is attained. So, no reaction. So, non-action, akarma. Okay. So, this seeing, learning to see inaction in action. No reaction being generated even though one is engaged in performance of all kind of actions. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask. Okay. If there is none, then we'll go to the last verse that we will see today. We still have about 4 minutes time. Brahmarpanam brahmahavir brahmagnau brahmanahutam brahmaivatena gantavyam brahmarma samadina. So he says, brahmarpanam. So this is the essence of Nishkama Karma Yoga. Okay. The oblations consisting of Brahma. So, in Nishkama Karma Yoga, every person is supposed to perform their own sacrifices. So, in sacrifices,
generally you know fire sacrifice, but there are many other different types of sacrifice. But let's take the example of fire sacrifice. You know, you have ahuti, which is offered in the air. So that is called as arpanam. So Brahma arpanam means the oblations consisting of Brahman. So, Brahma havihi, the ladle which is used to offer that ghee with Brahman as the ladle. Brahma agnau hutam is offered into the fire, which is Brahman. So the oblations are Brahman. The ladle is Brahman. It is the fire into which it is offered is Brahman. The person who is offering is also Brahman. Okay. Brahmaiva tena gantavyam. The person attains Brahman. Ultimate. Why? Brahma karma samadhina. Because by being absorbed in the actions of Brahman. Because he is performing actions with the desire to attain liberation, therefore, the ahuti which is offered, ghee and other such substances, the ladle which is used for that, the fire in which it is offered, the person who is offering, everything takes the quality of Brahman, which means everything develops the quality of liberating one from this material world. Otherwise, ghee can bind one to this material world. Spoon which is used to eat can bind one to this material world. Fire can very much bind one to the material world. And the person will get bound to material world by using all of these in performing material activities. But if he has Brahma karma samadhina, if he is absorbed in attaining that Brahman, with that mode, when he performs yajna, using all these things, then Brahmaiva tena gantavyam, by the very act performing these activities, he can attain Brahman. Okay. So therefore, all these, so like we say, Prabhupada says that the typer is not material if it is used to type Krishna Katha. Right? So that is, it takes the quality of spiritual when it utilized by a spiritual person for spiritual activities. So in the same way, for a Nishkama Karma Yogi, when the oblations of ghee and other such things that he offers in the fire, using a ladle by the person who is offering it, all of them can act as a means to liberation if the person performs all those activities, all those prescribed activities, being absorbed in attaining that Brahman, then that person actually attains Brahman. Brahmaiva tena gantavyam brahma karma samadhina. So essentially this verse talks about how by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga, one attains liberation. How Nishkama Karma Yoga leads to liberation. Brahmaiva tena gantavyam. So he says that it has been stated in the previous verse that one should perform actions for the purpose of yajna. Yajnaya acharata karma samagram praviliyate. So what type of yajna is this? This verse explains. Arpanam refers to the instruments such as the wooden spoon used to offer the ghee into the fire. This is Brahman. The substance used as oblation is Brahman. The performer of the yajna is Brahman. The person who sees things in this way attains Brahman alone and not any other result. Why? It is because he has concentrated his attention on the action which is composed only of Brahman. Brahma ka samadhina. Right. Because he is performing this karma toward Brahman, so he will attain Brahman. And all those ingredients which are used act as agents which can propel towards Brahma Jyoti. So they act as fuel to propel him towards Brahma Jyoti, because he is engaged in those activities with the mood of attaining Brahman. So purvairapi mumukshubihi.
So the mumukshus, those who have desire for liberation, they perform the activities by being detached from material results, but a desire to attain Brahman, Brahma Karma Samadhina. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions before we wind up for the day? Anything anyone would like to share, ask? Okay. If there is none, then we will pause here. But before you drop out, I just would like to remind you something. So next Friday, I will be in Vrindavan. So there will not be any Bhagavad Gita class. The Friday after that, I will be in Chaupati and I will be able to take Bhagavad Gita class. So in between 1 week, we will not have our Bhagavad Gita session. So just a reminder. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We'll continue this discussion week after next. So next week, we will not have this session. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.